this is a very good song. Apostrophe, 1973 on the album Apostrophe / Overnight Sensation. It's actually, Overnight Sensation came out in 73 and Apostrophe came out in 74, but when they reissued them as a CD, they put the two together. We'll be right back. for some reason, the static. Did you notice that? Or was that just on my phone? The static took over the song?
No. No, it's the Finnegan's Wake.
Right. So it's still the song is still clear for you?
No.
Well, I don't even hear it. How come stopped it, right?
There was a lot of white noise.
Yeah, white noise coming in. Anyways, what an awesome performance, though. Did you pick up that much?
Yes. I was saying Joyce took the apostrophe away from
apostrophe.
The Finnegan's Wake and gave it to Zappa.
Yes. Excellent. Excellent pattern there. Yes. That's nice. Nice one. Let's see if Bert. Is Bert disconnected? I think we got to bring Bert. Is that you, Bert?
Yes.
That's Bert.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so what we'll do for the Zappa hour, I realize we better delete the Nelson thing. Nothing dramatic happened that I could exploit, so we will delete the Nelson portion of the Zappa hour plus. So that people will not be subject to what we just heard. So we must fill in a few more hours of stuff to equal our annual.
Yes, but there is a lot because another thing that I suppose Zappa will admire from Joyce, that he said that was a real guy.
Yeah.
Is the fact that the Ulysses was prohibited in America for 10 years. There was a big trial because they said it was pornographic. And usually they were presenting in the media things for children, 8-year-olds. They said it is because they want to protect the younger ones, but in a way it's actually a way of keeping the population uninformed. And Joyce not only changed literature, but it changed a lot of much more, like this, the laws for the liberty of expression that Zappa was also fighting a lot for this freedom of expression.
Yeah,
and the trial for the Ulysses lasted 10 years, and it was not allowed in America. If you took or bought a copy of the Ulysses, it was taken away or destroyed, but it was not allowed in the country.
Right. Exactly. Now, are you citing Ben Watson's article where he compares Zappa and Joyce and the similarities in their lives and artistic efforts?
No, just at the beginning, the thing when he asked why do you say James Joyce is one of your big influences? But
right,
maybe if you have the whole article.
No, I don't.
Go into that.
No, I don't. I do have his book. I think you've quoted most of what's available. I could check that later, but I'm just... wait a minute. You're quoting the book. There's an article on his website, militantaesthetics.com, which goes into the similarities. So I didn't send that to you?
No.
Okay, we'll have to do that next week. There's a long article where he goes through, you know, starting off, they're both Catholic. They're both lapsed Catholics. And then it goes from there. So there's a lot of interesting similarities. Okay, so let me check what you sent us, Roxy, your emails.
Yes, we could maybe listen to a song by Joyce.
Okay.
It's called... It adieu, lit adieu. And I think it's the only song we have by Joyce, but he did much more. And as I said before, he was playing and studying music all his life.
Right. That's right. He went to the opera every night, kind of thing. Engaged in the music world a lot. Lobbied for musicians in different, you know, political difficulties. Yes, he didn't forget his involvement as a musician. So, and many people say Finnegan's Wake, in the end, I don't know what it's talking about, but I just listen to the words as music. So for a simple interpretation, a lazy interpretation, and simple, is that he represented the musician against the book, and he turned the book into music. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes.
He was of the ear faction, which Wyndham Lewis did not appreciate, Wyndham Lewis being the eye faction. Okay, so you're talking about, you say, Zappa apostrophe. James Joyce took the apostrophe away from the original title of the song, The Finnegan's Wake, to make it universal. No more a single Finn. All are awake in progress, part of the conceptual continuity of Bob Opus Re Magnus. First version is Zappy Jr. Second Zappa, live in New York. So those are two Zappas. And then you have Composed by Joyce. That's the one you're talking about, right? Composed by Joyce?
Yes. Yes, I think it will be nice because many people think he was only a great writer, but he was also a great musician.
Right. Okay, so I will bring on the sound. This, that, get rid of that. Yeah, that's quite beautiful. I'm impressed.
Yes, he was a tenor. He played the guitar and he played the piano.
Awesome. That was pretty good.
And, I think one of the...
Who would sing?
I don't know the name.
The song? Just a second.
No, the voice, the singer.
Okay, let me bring it up.
But I think one of the greatest things
the song
that
is,
he achieved...
Roxy, the song is called Bid Adieu to Girlish Days. Bid Adieu to...
Yes.
Say Goodbye to Girlish Days, sung by tenor Kevin McDermott.
And that's the cantus number 5 from the chamber music. Poems.
That's not music. I would read it, correct?
Yes, you have the lyric.
Right. So, Joyce, there's another YouTube, The Rhythm of the Words. What's that one?
Well, that's the...
Kate
I think
Bush.
It's somebody... Talk, well, Kate, like many... musicians were inspired by Joyce, because one of the things he could do, he could translate the music in his words, in his writing, this rhythm, this really, it's very musical.
Right.
And there is a YouTube where Joyce himself is reading, I think, from Annabella Plurabel.
Yeah.
And Olivia Plurabel. And there you see the musicality of the words.
Yeah.
But this musicality inspired a lot of artists, serious composers and pop composers, to make songs like Kate Bush or Led Zeppelin. Because another thing in the traditional music of Ireland, they have music that is nonsensical, because they have very old songs from the time of the Lost Tribes. No, but nobody knows what they don't know what they mean.
Right.
So it's just like listening to sounds like but very beautiful songs. And I suppose because he knew that type of music, that was maybe the source to create the Thunderwords.
Right.
These words that say a lot and are also onomatopoeic. They have the sound, for example, of the thunder. And maybe you could also read the thunder words to show the rhythm.
You recorded
the musicality.
You recorded.
Yes.
Can you play?
Yes,
those?
I recorded you, but I don't have them here to play them.
Okay. You say. You wrote to me, there are different styles of traditional Irish singing. Some are nonsensical. Mouth singing, lilting, often accompanied by clapping and footstep dance. The dancing is part of the musical as percussion, like in tap dancing. Features such as rhythm and tone dominate in lilting. The lyrics thus are often meaningless or nonsensical. Because of this, translations from Gaelic often do not exist. So let's what is this? Click on this YouTube.
That's just an example of that type of singing.
Okay, let's hear. Is he going to do it a bit? Let's see. Well, everybody was obediently listening. She was rather passive in doing it.
But
maybe to concentrate.
In a way, doing that, it's like angel talk. Just like,
right. Is
the Mabee Gaelic.
Do many cultures have
Mabee Gaelic
singing? You think it's Gaelic?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, but many songs, they don't have the translation, so nobody knows what they really mean. It's just like nonsensical.
In English. Yeah, you can have nonsense songs in English, but the words are translatable. So that's pretty rare to have a song that can't be translated, doesn't have any words, or they're doing instrumental. You're doing an instrumental?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the next item... The next item is poetry. So Joyce's first book of poems is called Chamber Music. And Boxy kindly typed up one, Cantos 5.
No, that's the one we already listened to.
How did we listen to it?
That's the lyrics, if you want to.
I never clicked it on. Let me see. No, that's Sid Barrett of Pink Floyd. We didn't listen to that.
Okay, that's another of the poems of the chamber music.
Yeah, his first book of poetry, I think, 1907.
Yeah.
So the lyrics, well, Sid Barrett is the original, maybe founder of Pink Floyd, who did too much LSD or something and disappeared, left the group and was a lonely kid after that. Now, he does something here. Let's see what he does. Golden Hair, Sid Barrett, 1969, words from James Joyce's chamber music. Oh, second. Okay. Okay, I'll read the lyrics just so we know what we heard. Lean out your window, golden hair. I hear you singing a merry air. My book was closed. I read no more, watching the fire dance on the floor. I have left my book. I have left my room, for I heard you singing through the gloom, singing and singing a merry air. Lean out of the window, golden hair. So it's about giving up books. I have left my book. I have left my eye.
The end of the Gutenberg galaxy.
Yes, and I will enter the trance of the electronic ear. So, there's that, and then...
Yes, there has been a lot of... In serious music and also in popular culture, I could not open the Roratorio by Cage.
Yeah. Couldn't open it. I could try it. But the Joyce had a big influence, his books had a big influence on painters and sculptors, not just on musicians or writers. He influenced all the arts.
Yes.
He probably even had an influence on Eversky. And the what?
the laws against obscenity and freedom of expression.
He actually created a political freedom. He loosened up the laws of censorship. He actually contributed to an opening up of culture from the 19th century restrictions. So, Bid Adieu, we listened to that one. This chamber music poem, Bid Adieu, that's the one we listened to. Okay. It says, Bid Adieu, 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 bid adieu to girlish days. So why is a guy saying, Bid Adieu to girlish days? Happy love has come to woo. Happy love has come to woo thee and woo thy girlish ways. The zone that doth become thee fair, the snood upon thy yellow hair. That's what Germaine made. Didn't she make a snood, her clothing? When thou hast heard his name upon the bugles of the cherubim, begin thou softly to unzone the girlish bosom unto him. What's that? Is that porno? When thou hast heard his name upon the bugles of the cherubim, begin thou softly to unzone thy girlish bosom unto him, and softly to undo the snood. That is a sign of statehood. He's feeling her up. He's saying that the end of girlish days is when the girl gets spelt up, to use the old phrase. And softly to undo the snood, that is the sign of maidenhood. Okay, we did that. And then, look at that. Roxy wants me to do the thunders again. It would be wonderful if you say them alive again, Bob. Today is Thunder Word Payday. And she has a YouTube.
Yes, who knows what repercussions they have when you say them. No, because
that's
true.
Because of the under rhythm of the word and the sound. It's really musical.
Did it sound musical when I did it the other night?
Yes.
All right. Well, that encourages me. I will. Let me do one little song to make me feel drunk and good. So, what could we play to make me feel? Let's just check.
There is also Joy's favorite composition by Gluck, The Dance of the Departed Souls.
That's his favorite composition?
Yeah.
Hmm. And you want me to play that?
Well, I mean, we could.
Okay, so we got here. I'm looking at the chat line, which I haven't looked in hours. You got Pamela writing up a storm. They're talking. What is this? There's a lot of discussion. Well, I'm going to go back up to the end. Gene says, Frank Zappa, Finnegan's Wake, Omnium Gatherum. Oh, so she posted the essay by Ben Watson on comparing James Joyce and Phineas Wake, it looks like. I mean, James Joyce and Zappa. And then Gene points out the pillar and the cloud was mentioned. You see, there were many ionic themes mentioned by Nelson, the pillar and the cloud. Now, on the surface, listening to Ion, people years ago used to say, well, he's a religious fundamentalist guy. But Ion, as we've heard through the years, uses these themes variously, the pillar and the cloud. But they are things in the Bible, but we listen to it differently. We've been mutated by Ion. We wouldn't say the kind of things that Nelson says. Wouldn't even take that interpretation. Silly. So, Gene says, bummer, no timing for Bob on Costa. So, they're now mourning that I didn't get on. Gene says, the first commercial on Payday, auto insurance. Then they have a headline, Bob's up next on Coast to Coast. Then Gene goes, crap, commercials again? More commercials? Arg. Then she's telling me, get ready to talk on Coast to Coast, Bob. They're back. So she was coaching me through this. And Gene says, yes, now we know why we are lactose tolerant. I don't know what that means. He's telling me to download the PDF of NelsonsTravelTalkers.com. Joa says, they are back. Are you very dead air? Roxy, tell us a story. I hear you, Bob. So I guess that was a dead air point. Then Gene goes, good grief, another commercial break on Coast to Coast, but they're going to open the lines for calls next. Now, that's the point. They really rub in the commercials. We are not used to that here in Ascended Continent, are we? We're not used to hearing these nauseating beckonings for money. Robert says, what's the story, Roxana? Can you talk about Egypt's manner? What is Egypt's manner? Gene says, I'm listening to the Coast to Coast program. I'm going backwards through Gene's comment. I'm listening to the Coast to Coast program on a local radio station. I expect to hear Bob ask a question any moment now. Well, that turned out pretty disappointing. I hope she survived that. She's asking if I hung up and called in. Robert says, the sea cucumber and the Egyptian inflatable banana. As we move closer to a state of Israel, river of tears and advertisements. Gene, message the host. Welcome to Fast Blast, where you can send one message to tell me how to email the guy or text him coast to coast. He gives the details, telling me to call in. Pamela. Okay, Pamela says, if there's no more babies being born and nobody ascended is aging, is everyone just young adults? Then she says, unless said young adults choose to bring forth a child in some other manner, then she says, or that my ascended beingness having but no longer requires it, having BTDD, you don't know what that is, no longer requires it. She says, how does such a creation work? Then gives a link. So Trina says, hey, Bill, if you're there, where do I go to make a donation? I've looked all over your webpage and don't see it. Earlier, Trina says, we don't have to flit into the other world. The whole wide world flows to you. That's only apply to me, Trina. Hey, no world flow to you. It flows to me, right, Bert?
Yes.
Yes, your magnitude.
Yes, it flows to me. Even Trina's world flows to me. The world doesn't notice you, Trina. It flows to me. It didn't even see you. I suck everything out of everything.
Hey, Bob, that lactose
intolerant?
The lactose tolerant comes from the milk. That comes back to the explanation from Wanda was explaining that they did a DNA test, and the Hebrews were cow herders, and they drank milk. So she connected that. That's, and they determined that the DNA sequence of those who were descendants are lactose tolerant. That comes back to that Nelson Fall.
Yes. Yeah, you know, Nelson says,
Wanda.
I know, he says, well, I'm not Jewish. For anybody that knows Nelson, he's a blatant Jew. He sent his kids to Jewish schools, and they did the Jewish thing, bar mitzvah and all that. So he means, I think he would say, well, we're not from the tribe of Judah. We are Israelites. Or maybe he would name, he said he was a Levite, a Cohen. So I guess that's what they call themselves. But he used to confuse people. I'm not Jewish, he'd say. Everybody knew they thought he was Jewish. So caused a lot of funny confusion. And then Robert says, when are you going on the Norrie show again, Bob? Well, I never was on there. Carolyn was. So a lot of instructions to me how to get on and when the schedule is going to be. So everybody was trying to help. They're talking about, is Ion coming back? Eliza, I hope he comes back. Good. I like it when people get a chance to ask questions. Trina says, Bob said maybe in the morning around 10 o'clock your time. Eliza said, yes. Last week they surprised by coming on during the bill hour. Trina says, that's cool. All the more reason to call in. Okay. Eliza earlier goes, was I on here already? And Trina says, hi, Eliza. Yes, he was here. She goes, oh, fudge. Eliza missed Ion. How did that happen? Alyssa gives a link to Jonathan. Okay, we're up to date on that. So we have to get back to Zappa work. So why don't I finish the interview I was reading last week? That would get us into that. Or is there anything else to play, Roxy? We've done all the materials, right?
Well, maybe the Joyce favorite composition by Gluck, because it's the myth of Orfeo and Eurydice. Orfeo goes to the Gulf to look for Eurydice.
Mm-hmm.
She's dead.
Right.
And by playing so beautiful, he moves the gods to tears, and they allow him to take the spirit of Eurydice, but they tell him he shouldn't look at her until they are back in the world of the living. And then he cannot resist, and he looked at her, and she fell down in the gulf again, and he's done, then left alone. But in a way, it's like the power of music could even defeat death.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what Ion is saying about these tones under the...
Under the cells.
What was the...
Cells.
Under the...
Underneath the cell.
The pulse of frequencies.
Vibrational pulses.
That's the music of Orfeo. The thing that can defeat death. And we
sure
can
I
go back home.
I ain't going back home. I'm going forward. Luckily, we go in circles, so I will arrive at home. But if I have the illusion I'm going forward, I'm happy with it. I'm not turning around, going back home.
Well, we can go somewhere, nowhere.
As long as it's in a circle. But I didn't get much of what you were saying there. Do you want to explain it again? What was your theme?
Well, Orfeo goes to the underworld to look for the soul of Eurydice.
Right.
And he plays so beautiful that he moves the gods to tears. And they agree to let the soul of Eurydice go back to the living.
Yeah.
But they tell him he shouldn't look at her until they're back in the world of the living, but he cannot resist, and he looks at her, and she falls down into the gulf again. But
and so what's your point?
Music can defeat death, and then that's why I was talking about this pulse.
That's what Ayn says. Music is mortar for the little man. It's comforting concepts, but the tones, the sensations are pretty pleasurable, regardless of semantic content. I mean,
yes, and he makes us expand in our concept of music. Is this pulse? Is the words? Is the new song? Is the music at all levels? In the molecules, in the cells, in our speech.
Right. Does this seem musical? I hate stopping it, but what do you make of that kind of music, Roxy? What does that speak to you? How does that speak to your educated ears? Called Soft and Gentle Ways by Clydie King. About the fourth time I've played it today. What do you think of it? Is it too early for you, or are you getting the basic emotion from it?
Not really. I don't
it's nice.
Really like that.
Isn't it? Did you just say it was nice?
No.
You don't like it. You don't like it. Weird. Why? What's wrong with it? Too blurry?
No,
high fidelity enough?
Maybe it's the alignment of the planets, but I'm in a very, very, very romantic mood. Like,
oh, you're in the mood for this.
I can.
Yeah.
You can actually play
that. That's more impressionist, but it's also very beautiful.
Right, and you can actually play
that,
right?
Yes, I'm learning that.
Yeah, now, what is it about Clydie King that doesn't make it? Am I nuts for liking that stuff? Have I been programmed into a rabbit hole?
No, but maybe I need a little more complex melodies. Like if you see this arabesque, how the arpeggios go up and down, and it's always changing. It's not like
right.
the same thing all the time. It's like waves very...
Right. That you're watching the fingers. I respond to a sentiment or an emotion in this rhythm and blues. I'm not looking for complexity or weaving multiple levels. It's the emotion. So what's that? What am I listening to? What am I responding to? Arabesque is nice.
It's probably the music, the voice with the music.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the
tonality. How the blends with the tone. Yeah.
It's
like
okay. If you like it, it's okay.
No, I'm not making an argument. I'm just trying to figure out why I like that. Debussy is pretty good, arabesque, but it stays too much in the tinkering piano top timbre or something. So let's play this a bit. I think this is a tremendous song. By that great new jazz guy, Kamasi Washington. Let's see.
Yes, played last week.
Yeah.
Final thought.
Kim called in. What?
It's called the Which Final difference? Thought, or Final Thought, or something. It has thought in it.
Well, there were several I played.
Swami
but
Washington.
Kim,
oh, okay.
Yeah, Kamasi Washington. And Kim called into What Youth and praised Henrietta. And I really liked Henrietta, so I was listening to it again last night. So listen to this. This has some of your variety, maybe.
Oh,
Did that appeal to you, Roxy? Oh, maybe she got knocked off.
Well, it was getting good with the sex.
Right. And then they stopped. You objected to them stopping the sex. Yes. Is Bert? Bert got, no, Bert's here. Okay, so Jean took an excerpt from Ben Watson's Zappa Joyce article. So let me just read this. She posted it. It says, more specifically, Zappa and Joyce are cultural subversion cranked up to multi-speed, where impediments to the artist's megalomaniac will to put anything next to anything have become a persistent itch whose scratching rends the body of the work, so it longer works. So it maybe means no longer works? It no longer works. It's all over the place. But what a place. Both were medievalists, contesting a puritanical, rationalized, logical commodity system imposed by the Protestant work ethic. He's got Protestant worth ethic. Reacting against repressive Roman Catholic upbringings and schoolings, but saving the good part, the yearning for a universal world picture. But instead of an inert ecclesiastical myth designed to prevent the masses noticing their chains, Zappa and Joyce turn the rosy, Eastern plastic, holographic wonderment of the Chartres Cathedral effulgence into a gargoyled beast at the beck and call of any man or woman brave enough to walk by his side. It hisses at cowardice and snarls at censorship and sniffs at repression. Are you that? Actually, there's a question. It hisses at cowardice and snarls at censorship and sniffs at repression, electrically sensitive to the bullshit surrounding social oppression. That's Ben on the overall dynamic of Zappa and Joyce. They are cultural subversion cranked up to multi-speed. So, what do you think of that? Any comment, people?
Yes. I think they both had these mystical experiences, like I told us Joyce was going to mediums to try to understand what was going on. He worked a long time on the wake, and he could not really understand what he was doing, but he could not stop this waking progress.
Yes.
And Zappa is always making jokes about the cosmic debris and all these things. But actually, I think he was contemplating all these things very seriously.
Yes, I agree. Now, Anonymous. I'm blinking Anonymous. Is that Alyssa? Is Alyssa hanging out here?
No.
No response.
No.
What's your name? Oh, that's Debbie. Debbie. Wait, do you have a question for us,
Debbie?
Oh,
by the way, I like the music you played. That was really nice.
Well, my heart is warmed.
Yeah, I love all of
cold,
it. All of it.
That cold Boston is so receptive to my vaginal acoustic insertion. Did you get that, Deb? Did you hear that word, that unruly word, inappropriately inserted into it?
Just right you.
Anarchy right in our ear. What do you say, Deb? What are you learning tonight, Deb? Of course, it's easy to like the music, Deb. But what are you learning? You self-muted yourself. Check your phone. Is your boyfriend beating you up now, Deb? Bert, have you no concern? I think Deb's being beat up. I think your boyfriend heard what I said.
Bob.
And she's being pummeled. Yes, Kurt.
Maybe. Yeah, it just seems that Frank is really, from, and maybe I'm partial due to my exposure to Frank more so than Joyce, is that Frank, to me, appears to be more mystical. Because he's, I mean, he was self-taught. And to me, that's a mis- I mean, it seems like he was being guided by, like, what we learned from...